All right, I've been warned, but I don't listen to warnings very well. I was told in seminary, make sure you never, ever, ever give a longhorn sermon. You know what a longhorn sermon is? A point here, a point there, and a lot of bull in between. So I won't. I'm going to give you a sheep sermon. Did you recognize that it's Good Shepherd Sunday? Did you hear that? All right. Well, you've heard about it, but I don't know that a lot of you have experienced it. We're going to sing the sheep song. Just to bring back an oldie but a goodie. Come on, you know this. This is very easy. I'll teach you all. Yeah, that's something. Very, very easy. Here's the chorus. I just want to be a sheep, ba, 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 ba. I just want to be a sheep, ba, 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 ba. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. I just want to be a sheep, ba, 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 ba. That's the chorus, nice and easy. I've got two other questions you have to ask me. Whenever I'm singing the verse, I'm going to sing something like, well, I don't want to be this. And you're going to say, what? What? And I'm going to sing something, and I'm going to say, I don't want to be one of these things. And you're going to go, why? That's all you have to do. Piece of cake. Let's go through this. This is the sheep song. I just want to be a sheep. Ba, 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 ba. I just want to be a sheep. Ba, 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 ba. I pray the Lord my soul to be. I just want to be a sheep. Ba, 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 ba. I don't want to be a sin. I don't want to be a Sadducee.
What?
I don't want to be a Sadducee.
Why?
Because they're so sad, you see. I don't want to be a Sadducee. Well, what do I want to be? I just want to be a sheep, ba, 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 ba. I just want to be a sheep, ba, 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 ba. I pray the Lord my soul to be. I just want to be a sheep, ba, 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 ba. I don't want to be a Pharisee.
What?
I don't want to be a Pharisee.
Why?
Because they're not fair, you see. I don't want to be a Pharisee. I just want to be a sheep.
I just want to be a sheep. Ba, 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 ba. I just want to be a sheep. Ba, 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 ba. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. I just want to be a sheep. Ba, 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 ba.
I don't want to be a hypocrite.
What?
I don't want to be a hypocrite.
Why?
Because they're not hip with it.
Sheep. Sheep are not known for being the smartest animal on the planet. They do really dumb things. But the Bible tells us on so many occasions we are sheep. We read it today. Dee did a beautiful job of reading the passages of the text today, that we are the sheep. Do you realize in the Bible, throughout Genesis to Revelation, taking the whole thing, 192 verses, over 204 times, sheep are mentioned. Not always in a good light, but mentioned. We are the sheep of the pasture. I wish the Amslers were here today, because Norm always tells me, when he's listening to the sermon, he just loves looking at that stained glass window. And he says, the one that always gets him is this one right here, this little one on the left-hand side, just looking up at the Savior, just like almost helpless. He goes, that's me. He goes, I'm just looking there saying, Jesus, I don't know what's going on, but just help me. And he goes, I always look at that, and I see that little sheep just staring up there. So I'll have to remind him, he missed Good Shepherd Sunday. Jesus had compassion on the people. He came. He was real. He walked on the earth. And Mark tells us he had compassion because the people were like sheep without a shepherd. So he taught them. That was the compassion. He came and died for our sins, but while he was here, he taught us. He was in the synagogues. He exposed and opened the scriptures and said, this is what you're missing. They're talking about me. We are a part of his flock. Ezekiel writes, you are my flock, the sheep of my pasture, you are my people, and I am your God. We are sheep whether we want to acknowledge it or not. So why don't people want to be known as sheep? Well, they're not the smartest animals, as I mentioned before. I came across a UK article from a newspaper in the United Kingdom, which I thought was interesting, that this lady, this was 2014, and this lady would put her sheep out to pasture. And the sheep were having a hard time getting back to the pen at night. They weren't coming back in to get fed. As a matter of fact, they were falling over. Something was happening. Was there a gas smell? Was there something in the water? No. Crooks were hiding their cannabis stash in her pasture, and the sheep were munching it. And they were looped and couldn't make it back to the pen at night. I don't know who's dumber. Do you keep putting it back there every night and saying, what's happening to it? Or the sheep that keep going back and not making it in. They're not the smartest. They will keep eating and eating and eating until they're satisfied. They're also very easily fooled. Sheep can be tricked into doing things that are so dumb. Aesop made this great fable. I love reading Aesop's fables. Aesop had a fable that really demonstrated this. The sheep were out at pasture. I'll give you the quick Pastor Whalen version. Sheep were out in the pasture, and the wolves would come by, but the sheep were guarded by dogs. And so the wolves one day called the sheep over and said, you know, we could have so much fun if it weren't for those dogs. Because they're mean and they're nasty and they won't allow us to come and play with you. So the sheep said, you know, dogs, you should just leave us alone. We really don't want you here anymore. And the dog said, hey, but we're here we don't need you. Just go home. So the dogs, with their heads down, walked away. And the wolves came in and ate the sheep. That's Aesop's fable. Moral of the story there is, you know, there is... be careful. You're easily misled. The wolves were getting rid of the dogs so they could eat them. The dogs were there for protection. And as sheep, we don't always want to be protected. And we're easily misled, or sheep, I should say, are easily misled. Do you realize that once they have established a leader, they will follow that leader to the ends of the earth? Even if that leader walks off of a cliff, they will go one after the other after the other. And I've confirmed that with a farmhand that said, you've got to definitely watch the leader. If you've got a dumb leader, you're going to have a dumb herd. So it does. It happens in families too, doesn't it? Sheep are misled very, very easily. But we are called the sheep. And we're told, not only are we sheep, but watch out for the wolf. The wolf is very cunning. The wolf will do whatever the wolf can to get in and destroy that flock. There'll be trickery, there'll be deceitfulness, everything. As a matter of fact, in the text that Dee read from Acts, we hear this heart pouring, this with tears, like, I told you the wolf was coming. In fact, the wolf is even amongst your flock. The wolf arises. It's not just out there. We have wolves in congregations, in churches. Certainly haven't seen any here yet, and I'm happy for that. But if you look around in some of the churches, some of the teachings that are going on are a little on the strange side. They seem kind of wolfish. They go against the Holy Scriptures, our norm, our set of morals, our truths, our standard. You start going against the Holy Scripture and tearing out a page here, tearing out a page there, saying that just doesn't apply anymore. It's a wolf. Be careful. Sometimes they're subtle, sometimes they're not so subtle. I really think this links back to Jesus saying he had compassion on them, for they were like sheep without a shepherd. And so he taught. He taught them the Scriptures. He began to teach them. He opened up the book to them. I think there's a link there. We're called to know. We're called to dive in, as Jan mentioned, the Wednesday Bible study. We dive into the Scripture. We look at each verse. We see, what's God talking about here? What does it mean? We're supposed to be wise. We're not supposed to sit back and just let people walk all over us. We're supposed to be wise. The wolf will use, number one, the Holy Scriptures to trip you up and cause you confusion and make you think, do I really know what I thought I knew? The devil did it day one. Oh, did God really say? I can almost picture the actors up there right now. It's like impersonating this evil satanic serpent here. You know, Adam and Eve saying, we can't eat from that tree. You know, God said, oh, come on. Did God really? Did he really say that? Yes, he did. It was that plain. Don't eat from that tree. The serpent will trip you up. You have to learn the words. You have to learn the Scripture. It's a must. We learn it all at different levels, certainly. You have theologians. You have people like Ravi Zacharias that can just sit down there and parse every Hebrew word out and understand it. Great. We can learn from him. But each of us learn too. Those kids up in Sunday school, up the younger kids, some of the things that have come from their mouths, I wish I had that knowledge. They really get it. Jesus said, unless you are like these children, you shall not enter the kingdom. They get it. And they're not theologians, and they haven't got a master's degree, and they didn't go to some big Ivy League school to get a PhD. They just know it, for the Spirit's opened their heart. So we have to really get in there and make sure that we know the word and we recognize wolves when they appear before us. They're tough. They look, they act like they want to do well, but they don't. But luckily for us, we have a great shepherd. He's called the Good Shepherd throughout the Bible. He's a great shepherd. In the prayer today before we started service, Kurt had prayed that we would be like sheep and listen to our master. And that at the same time, we would leave here being prepared to be shepherds. In seminary, they called us under-shepherds. We're not the shepherd. We're under the shepherd. We're learning from the shepherd. And I think there's something to be learned from that. We watch, we read, we see how Jesus deals with his sheep. Rod and a staff were a vital tool, two different tools that were used by the shepherd. One was to keep the sheep on the right path, and the other was to beat something that was coming to attack the sheep. Sheep themselves, in my opinion, should not be beaten. I think that it does harm to the congregation. But wolves need to be beaten away. Wolves are there for one reason only, to destroy the flock. So Jesus, with his staff, he protects us. His word keeps us on the right path. Yeah, we wander occasionally. We get lost, but he sits there and he waits for us to come back, as that father of the prodigal son was so happy to see that son return down the path. A lot of times we think he must have forgotten us. Life has gotten so difficult that I wonder if Jesus still really cares. Let me give you an anecdote that Dwight Moody shared with his congregation I thought was pretty interesting. Moody shared that we have a great shepherd, but you have to remember that shepherds don't always run after the sheep. You're like, what? Listen. Sheep will follow the line and graze where they find good grass. Once again, following the leader, but some of them wander off. They found a great patch of grass and they wander over near a cliff. There's a little more grass down there, just a rock down, and they go down and they eat that grass. Maybe there's a little more, a nice little patch of grass a little further, and before you know it, one thing leads to another, and that little sheep is on sort of like a cliff down and can't get back up. It's stuck down in this little level area. And the sheep starts baaing. I'm stuck. And the sheep baas and baas and baas, and no one comes to help it. And finally the sheep, after baaing and baaing, and all the grass has been eaten and it has run low on food, starts to grow weary and settles down and realizes that things are getting pretty bad, and it lays down. And the shepherd has been there the whole time. For the shepherd knows that if he would have went down while that sheep was still active, that it would have spooked the sheep, and more than likely that sheep would have run away and tried to go over the cliff to get away. So the shepherd simply waits until the sheep realizes that there's absolutely nothing that it is capable of doing to get itself out of the pickle. And that's when the shepherd comes in and lifts him up on his shoulders and brings him back up. Sometimes when we wander off, the shepherd says, "Is that really where you want to go? You really want those shiny things? You really want to go there where I've told you time and time again, don't? Go for it. And I'll be right here waiting for you. I'll wait until you finally realize that you can't make it on your own. And then he'll swoop in and pick us up and bring us back into the flock." For some of us, it takes a long time to recognize that that little educational piece. For others, not so much. But that's how the staff can comfort us there, and Jesus protects us. We need to know the truth. We need to know the voice of the shepherd when he calls us. We need to know, be able to distinguish between what is right and what is wrong. I have a last little illustration here that I've probably mentioned before. If anyone's starting to get squeamish, just raise your hand and I'll stop. But I found it to be quite interesting. It has to do with an Alaskan. It's Alaska. I got to bring up Alaska almost every sermon, right? But do you know how Eskimos catch wolves in Alaska? Especially the white wolf. That's probably the hardest wolf. The white wolf is said to be able to smell scent over 2.5 miles away. They can smell the drop of blood. That's pretty good. It's also said that their eyesight is so keen, it would be the equivalent of a human being able to read a newspaper at 155 yards. Can you imagine that? Being able to read a newspaper without these. Wow, I can't even see you without these. But 155 yards. How do you catch a predator that is so cunning, so wise? It's difficult. But the Eskimo has a trick. It simply allows the predator to use its own instincts, to use its own desires and lusts to take care of itself. And from what I've read anyways, this still goes on today up far, far up north in Alaska. The Eskimos simply, when the cold season, when the white wolf's out stalking and hunting, simply just takes a very, very sharp knife, double-edged knife, and dips it in blood and sticks it outside. And then after it freezes, it dips it in blood and it sticks it outside. Dips it in blood and sticks it outside. And it keeps doing that over and over and over again. And then it goes out beyond the community and it takes that blade side up and it attaches it into the snow firmly so that it cannot be moved. So you have a double-edged knife sticking up out of the snow, frozen in there, a little bit of water to make sure you got a nice firm bond. And then they go away and they just watch. And over the course of a couple days, the wolves start coming in. And they smell that blood and they know that's an easy kill. And they start licking that knife. And they get that taste, and they just keep going at it and going at it. And what they don't realize is that they're killing themselves. They don't understand what's right in front of them. And in the end, they end up killing themselves, and that's how the Eskimo fights and hunts and brings back the wolf for clothing and food and whatever else they use it for up there. We need to know the Word of God, point being, so that we're capable of using it to defend us and keep the devil at bay. When the devil comes up and says, doesn't God's Word surely say this? We need to say, yes, yes. But you got to finish the verse. That's how Jesus did it when he was in the wilderness for 40 days. The devil said, can't you just change these stones into bread? And said, I can, but you're not finishing the full verse. That's the point of knowing the Scriptures. They are our comfort zone. They allow us to fight the wolf back with what he's bringing to us. He's cunning. So jump in. Learn them. There's so much to learn inside the Scriptures. Even Genesis is wonderful. That psalm today was, the Lord is my shepherd. I like this translation. I have all that I need. Or if you like the King James, I shall not want. They mean the same thing. I have all that I need. There's nothing I'm lacking. That shepherd gives us everything to be successful, to have the things that we need to keep us up and about. My sheep listen to my voice and I know them. They shall not perish. The shepherd will never let us go. He has mansions built for us, awaiting for our entrance into heaven. But while we're here, we're called to be the flock. We're called to be a part of that group. It's another good thing about being a sheep. We travel in flocks. We come here on Sunday mornings. We listen to the good word. We arrive for Bible studies. We call each other. We have prayer partners. We pray for each other. It's nice to be a part of a group that cares for one another. But I end today's sermon with probably the greatest line of all concerning sheep in the New Testament. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. A hired hand runs away, but a good shepherd is there to take whatever it takes to make sure he protects his sheep. And in our case, the good shepherd came and laid his life down so that you may know you have eternal life. It's not so bad being a sheep, is it? There's some good things that come out of it. So remember that song, and the next time I talk about it, you'll remember that you got to sing the sheep song, and you'll go home tonight singing it. And if you need to, you know, if you need me to come back out for an encore, the lighters, so you can come back up. Have a good week. Amen.